Broadcasting from the wine country in California, this is the Kick-Ass Relationship Show, where intimate secrets and modern advice for couples is shared to elevate your relationship to live sexier, happier, and have way more fun. We believe success in life is better when mixed with excitement and love. And now, here's your kick-ass relationship coach and best-selling author, Midori Verity.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another show, everyone. It is going to be hot today. My phone is blowing up. My Facebook is blowing up. We have quite the guest. So let me just ask you, are you contemplating divorce? Well, after the interview today, it may be more like the movie Scared Straight. After hearing from our guest, men's rights attorney Marilyn York, it might scare you into falling back in love with your spouse. Who knows? But it will be interesting. I promise you that. I'm Midori Verity, the Kick-Ass Marriage Coach and your host. And each week I bring you guests, tips, inspiration, and fun to help energize your life and your relationship. So we are going to start off, before we get to our guest, just for a 3 minutes to thrive topic that I want to share with you guys, and it's called mountaintop thinking. What the concept is behind this is that when you are approached with concerns or problems or obstacles or challenges in your relationship or even, quite frankly, in your life, when you adopt this method of thinking, it's called mountaintop thinking. And yes, I did make up that term, but you can get the idea of what that means. So when you come up with these challenges in your life, what I want you to do is start thinking from a higher perspective. So what I mean by that is, let's say you have a challenge that's coming up. I want you to ask yourself two questions before you put too much energy into it. So the first question is, how or will this matter a year from now? If your answer is yes, then I want you to go to the next question. How much will it matter 5 years from now? And then actually there's three questions. So from there, I want you to ask, how big of an impact will it have? So if you realize, you know what, a week from now, this really isn't going to matter. The fact that he throws his towel on the ground and he eats in the middle of the night and he makes a mess in my kitchen, how much is this really going to affect me? So instead of putting a lot of energy and anger into it, when you start changing the way that you respond, the way that you process, the way that you think about these issues, it puts a much different perspective and you can respond in a healthier, more concise, controlled way that will actually help your relationship. And the beauty of this concept is that it can be used in all aspects of your life. In fact, I teach this to my kids. I have an 18-year-old and I have a kid who's about to graduate from college. When they start getting caught up in all the chaos and all these worries and, you know, where am I going to get a job and is my degree good enough, et cetera, I try to remind them of this mountaintop thinking, and it just helps alleviate so much stress, anger, energy. So I hope that helps you guys. If you have questions, you can always email me, Midori@MidoriVerity. But I really want to jump into this interview. Like I said in the very beginning, my guest, Marilyn D. York, she is a men's rights attorney, and she evokes a lot of emotions. So let me just tell you a little bit about her. As the sole owner of the exclusive family law office known as Attorney Marilyn D. York Incorporated, Marilyn and her firm specialize in representing men in their divorce, custody, and all family law battles. Marilyn chose her career because of her passion for families, children, and relationships. Marilyn focuses on representing men because they are crucial to the upbringing of their children, and yet they are disadvantaged, disfavored, and underrepresented in family court. However, Marilyn may be more known or more well known for her off-color sense of humor and edgy advertising. In fact, Marilyn has received national attention for her ads, was featured in the National Box Office film Divorce Incorporated, made an appearance on the Comedy Central show Tosh.0, and has a television show in the works in L.A. Marilyn's personal life is as scandalous as her advertising. She's married her fourth husband just over a year ago and recently gave birth to their son in February of this year, so 2017. He marks her third child from three different fathers. She likes to call her personal life work study. No one knows the world of divorce and family law from the inside out better than Marilyn. So let's welcome Marilyn to the show. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Midori. How are you doing?
I am doing great. And I just have to tell you, I'm going to play one of your commercials in a minute because I want people to hear the type of things that you do. But I just have to tell you, I've been doing shows for a while now. I have never had a guest on my show that has evoked more emotions than you do, Marilyn. So congratulations.
Yeah. If that's my goal, I'm doing well. I'm not sure that's my goal, but it certainly hasn't hurt business.
I'm sure it hasn't. So I'm going to have Doug play your commercial right now. And this is your Viagra commercial. You guys, I want you to hear this because it is a crack up.
You've reached the age of knowing what needs to be done. So why let marital dysfunction get in your way? Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough to remain unhappily married. Side effects may include income loss, emasculation, involuntary abstinence, and erectile dysfunction. Seek immediate legal help for marital dysfunction lasting more than 4 years. Is it time you talk to your men's rights attorney about divorce? See if America's most prescribed marital dysfunction solution is right for you.
Okay, so that's just an example of the type of ads that Marilyn has. Okay, Marilyn, we have to dive into this. So I'm going to start off with one comment that I did receive. This is from someone who was formerly an attorney, and she is aware of your work. And she brought up, she said that Marilyn takes advantage of men at a time in which they are emotionally distressed for her own financial gain. So tell us, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, it's a bold statement from somebody that's never met me and has no idea what my practice is. I would expect an attorney to maybe delve into something a little better than that. Like, this is probably why she's a former attorney, because her investigation skills are nil. Certainly I don't think we're taking advantage of men. We're trying to help them in a time of divorce, and they are being taken advantage of often, or they're just naive to the, realities of divorce, unfortunately. They're naive to the fact that courts are a lot more even-keeled than they used to be, and that they can, in fact, most likely get joint and physical custody if they're equivalent, parents. And so what we do is educate them first and then kind of act as their backbone most of the time, and their supporters, their cheerleaders, their mommies, their, mouthpiece, whatever they need, and push them forward to see their children. I don't know why that's a disservice. Do we charge for that? Absolutely. It's not a hobby. It's not a pleasure. It's a very difficult job. So, yeah, we certainly charge for that. But I have about 18 pro bono cases right now, literally 18. I run a homeless girl shelter in town for free, and that takes 10 to 20 hours of my week. So I don't, I just did lawyer in the library for 4 hours yesterday giving free legal advice. So I wouldn't say that I'm doing it for the financial gain as my motive. If I wanted to do something for financial gain, I would be a different kind of attorney. There's plenty of attorneys out there that make a hell of a lot more money doing something else that's a lot less painful emotionally. So that would be my response.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. That's a good response. And I will say this. One thing that I do, I've checked you out, of course. And one thing that I resonate with you is that you and I share a common passion, and our common passion is that we care about kids and we want the kids to come out as healthy and happy and confident as possible. Your method happens to be with defending men and talk to us a little bit about that. Why do you feel, so you were saying that it's a fact that in courts, men tend to be more, in family law, that men tend to be more disadvantaged as far as rights to their children. So expand on that. Give us some more insight and some more education on that.
Well, they used to be that you'd go to family court and it was presumed. In fact, there was a thing called the Tender Years Doctrine that was in effect in mid-80s to mid-90s, which mandated that courts give children that were in their young minority, I think under age 7, to mothers in a custody battle. It mandated it. And so fortunately that now is abolished, but it's taken a long time for our courts to evolve from abolishing a mandate that women get their children to, you know, joint physical custody being sort of the presumption. In fact, that law just passed last year in Nevada that the court must give joint physical custody to two parents if it's requested, unless they can find a reason why it's not in these children's best interests. But I know there's a lot of states in the union that still don't do that. For example, Illinois doesn't have joint physical custody as a concept. It doesn't exist. You can't do it. You can't ask for it. You cannot cheer your children. There has to be a primary household. And guess who that's going to be? Still most likely the female. So we have that preference, and then there's also some skewing in the support world, to say the least. You know, men are still the primary income earners in most households. There's still bias as far as them paying support, both child and spousal support, to their exes. When the tables turn and I have the men that are stay-at-home dads and the wife's the breadwinner, I never, never, never get as much alimony and child support for that dad as I would the mom in the same circumstance. Despite saying that in court like a total jerk, I do. I straight say that to judges. Like, if he were a woman, you wouldn't be doing this. I mean, but if I can get mileage out of it and it's true, I might as well say it, so... those are kind of the disadvantages. Also, I think, frankly, that men and women are wired differently. I think that women are wired to battle emotionally and men are not. Most of my men are done with that emotional battle in about 4 weeks. They're, if not 4 minutes, but they just are done. They want it to be over. They can't handle the emotional strife. They aren't, you know, accustomed to it. They don't like it. They just want to provide to their former spouse and be done, and it just isn't that quick, unfortunately. There, of course, are exceptions. I have some men that will fight to the death forever, but... most of the time there is this pattern that I see. And so it's our job to kind of keep their stamina going, pep talk them, threaten them, tell their mommies on them, whatever it takes to keep them in the, you know, battleground until they can at least be in their children's lives in a substantial way, make sure they have enough money after they pay support so they don't live on their mom's couch. I mean, this is really what we spend our time doing. And reminding them that, no, this is the woman that taped you for a year straight while you guys were on dates. No, you shouldn't go meet with her at her house and believe that everything's okay.
Like, right.
Hello. You know, those sort of little nudges. That's really okay. What we spend most of our time doing.
So let me ask you this. With, you know, any divorce is going to be emotional, and there's always two sides to every single story.
Yes.
So with couples, you know, this is where I think I have the hardest time with I haven't seen you in court. I've only... you know, read about you and seen your ads, but it's already such a tense emotional time. And with the type of representation that I'm presuming you do you feel that it creates more tension in the family rather than pretty, you know, where do you think that there is a happy medium to make divorce less stressful and create less stress, especially on the children?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's not how we practice. I mean, the commercials are, of course, designed to get people in the door and educate. And I suppose they're bold. I mean, I'm a much bolder person than those commercials portray, frankly, which may make people more uncomfortable. And I'm also a lot softer than those commercials portray. But, you know, No one wants a soft lawyer commercial. It's not going to pull in, and they cost a lot of money. So I would never do one like that. But our intention is always to settle a case. We settle more cases than we try by about 90%. That's the typical, you know, statistic anyway. We work really hard to keep families intact if that's an option. So when men come in here, we send them to counselors, and I just ran into one at lunch and he thanked me. I just sent him 3 clients. And so if there's a chance of repairing a family, we're not trying to make it worse. It is never my intention. We don't practice that way. Typically, when I'm hired, however, that is the impression. And so it can certainly ramp up the emotions on the front end. They're like, oh my God, you hired her. I thought we were going to work this out. You're such a jerk. I can't believe you hired her. And so it's an unfortunate side effect and a wonderful side effect, depending on the circumstances. The unfortunate part is I don't want people to feel that way if there is a chance of them amicably settling their divorce or even better, working it out with, you know, one another and getting back together. That being said, they need to know that in the event they step outside the reasonable parameters of the divorce settlement, that we are going to battle, we're going to trial, and it's going to be really painful. Like, I want them to understand that because I right. want to encourage and incentivize both sides to be reasonable and give more than they want to give, because that's the only way to settle. And if you don't, you're going to put my kid through college and we're going to court. And it sucks for them and it sucks for me, but I'm really good at it. I have no problem, you know, being on the battleground if I need to be, but that's a last resort. So I do recognize that the, you know, acrimonious nature of my commercials makes my reputation as, you know, more extreme than it probably deserves to be. Typically, opposing counsel and the judges reassure these people and say, you know, she's really actually really easy to work with, and most attorneys in town would agree that we're easy to work with. We do really good work, and we're really reasonable as far as trying to talk settlement, you know, within, again, reason, because we certainly represent our clients' best interests, and we certainly put forth that representation, and we're not afraid of court, and we will go if need be. So we're no pushovers. I'm not suggesting that. But, you know, some women can't be convinced, like, you know, the case I just ran into the therapist on. The wife hates me, maybe more than her husband, and that's saying something. So she's always trying to get him to fire me. Like, that's her life goal, and the case is basically done, so it failed. The life mission failed. But she keeps saying that my commercials aren't about her, and she's actually worse than any commercial I ever did. I'm like, she's much worse. She's much more creative in the evil ways that I hadn't even thought of. So
okay,
she doesn't think so.
Talk to me about this phenomenon. I see it way too often where you have a couple that they just keep going to court. They just keep going to court over everything. So let's say they have, you know, 50-50 custody or whatever it is, and the wife wants either more alimony or something. So she goes and she asks for that. And then the ex-husband comes back and says that he wants full custody. What is this about? And how do you advise your clients to avoid this type of phenomenon?
I typically have always tried to talk my clients out of going to court. I mean, when you need to go, obviously you need to go. And sometimes the court's more reasonable than your ex, and that's fine. And we'll go find out. But I typically just consider it a toxic environment for families and individuals. It's emotionally, financially, physically draining beyond what they could possibly fathom. And so it's really bad and toxic for a family, even a separated or a divorced family. You come out of court, you hate that person more than you walked in. Always. Always. It's just a really negative thing. So we try to talk them out of it. Typically, the price of an attorney will talk them out of it because it's costly. I simply remind them, you know, financially, if that's the question, it's an easier conversation. You're trying to get $1,200. It's going to cost you $5,000 in attorney's fees to get there. And that's an estimate. It may cost you $10,000. Like, quit it. Quit being vindictive. It's a waste of money. The court gets pissed off at you when you waste their time for less money than they know it costs you to get here. It, you know, I try to educate them maybe from a therapeutic standpoint about what it does to children to have families in conflict. But that being said, sometimes you have to go there and put someone in their place because they just keep pushing the boundaries. And until they get slapped back down, you know, with a motion for contempt or something, it's just going to escalate. And you can't stop families. Some families are toxic. They're just going to keep litigating. Somebody's going to file. It's probably not in the joint physical custody settings. I think those have less conflict because they have equal power physically over the children, equal time. And so I think they have less battle for power in most instances, which is nice. That's one of the trends that I think is being more beneficial. But otherwise, I play Darwin. I'm like, I feel bad for these kids. And then I remind myself that nature and nurture, they're doomed. I'm like, sorry, you know, I can sleep at night now because they have no chance. They're screwed. Well, this is your mom and this is your dad. And they're jerks. They hate each other. They're raising you. You're in the middle of a court battle. They'll either be a phenomena and turn out amazing, or they're going to be total little jerk juniors like their parents. So,
I mean, okay, so everyone make a mental note of that one.
Because it's the Darwin analysis.
The Darwin analysis. Okay. And you're right. It's, gosh, some of the things that we've all seen, you just think, really? Yeah. Well, you just want to shake them and say, what are you doing? And I think emotions sometimes it's infuriating. And I think emotions take over the brain. You know, they know what's wrong, but it just takes over their brain. Okay. So we have a caller who called in and their question is, what is the biggest reason men want divorce? What do you see the trends are? What do you see the most common things are?
Because they have to file an answer to the complaint. I mean, honestly, 90% of divorces are initiated by women. So the 10% that are initiated by men. Now, I'm not saying those 90% of men who are served are happy. And half the time they're in here, you know, sad about the fact that she served him and mad. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're miserable. She's a nightmare. You should be high-fiving her new boyfriend. But infidelity is certainly an ongoing theme in all divorce, both sides. 60% of men cheat in divorce, 40% of women cheat in divorce is the statistic. I don't know the overlap, so I'm hoping it's not 100% of marriage, but there's some overlap. So I'd say infidelity shows up a lot. I'd say menopause is a big thing, because what people probably don't know, most people know the statistic that 50% of marriage ends in divorce. That's only true at the 25th year of marriage. So you don't get divorced till you're 25 years in. Women go through menopause. They have hormonal extremes. And, you know, I'm a woman. I understand what it can do to you. So these men come in here and they're like, she's not the same woman I married. It's like, she's miserable. She's unhappy. Or she's the other way. She's party girl. She's out on the scene. She got new boobs and I'm suddenly dead to her. You know, they want connection. They're lonely. They sometimes found that connection in their secretary or their nurse or whatever close woman, and they are leaving for that next woman. You know, most men prefer to keep both, frankly, but that's not typically an option women are okay with. The sadder cases are a disabled or a sick or a death of a child. Those will put a case into divorce pretty often, unfortunately. So those are kind of the main reasons. Sometimes financial differences where there's the strain. The economy crashing was a big deal, so men lost their jobs and their identity and their self-esteem and moped around and, you know, lost themselves, and those ended up in divorce because the women lost respect for their husbands. Maybe they're gold diggers, maybe they're nice people, and just couldn't look at their husband be moping around anymore, you know, and the guys never snapped out of it. Or they left because they didn't feel supported by their wife, you know. Those are sort of the psychological reasons. I would say that covers most of why people end up in my office based on what they tell me and what it appears to be.
Okay. You just uncovered so many things where there's so much more to it than
yeah,
just that.
I know.
And we could go on and on for hours, but I do have to approach this one.
Sure.
And we're supposed to go to commercial right now, but we're going to wait just a minute. Doug, I hope you're okay with that. But you talked about menopause, but then there's the flip side of this where men, and it's not necessarily because of menopause. I don't agree with that.
We call it menopause.
Menopause. There is, crisis. It's a real thing. It's not called menopause. There is a term where, and it's a physical fact. Men go through a period where
testosterone dropping.
Yeah. And they kind of lose their mind and they try to relive their youth and they start, you know, sure. The 45 year old man will go after the 20 year old girl. We've all seen
sure.
it. And,
absolutely.
You know, so it goes both ways as far as that goes.
Absolutely. They're not coming in here and confessing to it, though. Trust me. They're all acting like it's all her and there's nothing wrong with them. And they slept with their secretary because she ignored them or whatever. You know, women do the same thing. It's just in human nature to blame someone else.
It is. And with...
It's surely a truth. They get the sports card. They get the younger model girlfriend. Absolutely. They don't want to age. It's kind of a different motivation with, you know, the low testosterone. They're trying to prove that it's not the case, and they're going out and trying to build their ego up. With menopause, it seems like women kind of go into their shell and just get, you know, a lot more angry, lash out more, sometimes end up on prescription pain meds or alcohol. So it manifests a little differently, but it's the same impact on a marriage, which is devastation.
And I think you and I can agree on that part of it. So with that, when we come back from this quick commercial break, we are going to be talking to Marilyn about some personal stuff, such as why she's been married 4 times, maybe because she's getting really good at it. So we're going to talk to her about that when we come back. So stay with us, and we're going to be answering some more questions.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool. And it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and maybe feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @ Midori Verity, and type quiz in my messenger, and it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @MeDoriVerity, and type quiz in my Messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
Okay, we are back with the, oh my gosh, this is a fiery conversation. My phone is blowing up right as we are talking and we have calls coming in, but we are here with Marilyn York, the men's rights attorney, and we are getting into stuff pretty deep. If you listened to the last part, we talked about how menopause causes so many divorces, and but also the men issue of trying to relive their youth and maintain their youth. So anyway, we and during the break, Marilyn and I were talking about how it's really kind of simple things. You got to pay attention to your relationship. The people that come into her have not... Would you, Marilyn, would you say that this is fair to say? The people who come into your office have not on a regular basis been putting in the effort and the time into the relationship.
I think it's fair that one or both of them certainly seems to be the theme, that they haven't been, you know, regularly maintaining their relationship or trying to make the other partner happy at all.
Okay.
They're stuck in a rut or busy working or raising kids and neglecting the marriage or worrying about themselves. Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
I call it the back burner syndrome. It happens all the time. Okay, so we have some calls that we need to take. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for being on our show.
Hello. Oh, hi, girls. Okay, my question's going back to the first segment. Okay, say you have, and this is for you, Marilyn, say you have a situation where you have been married to a guy for almost 12 years, and he's been divorced for 13 and a half years, and the ex-wife continually takes us back to court. We've hired and fired attorneys. They've also fired her attorney. She had the opposite of what you are. She had the best female attorney in our county. And so what they did is, for financially, is they took the highest paying year that he made, and that's what they put into the DISA master. And so basically, since the whole thing started, we have gone from paying $8,500 a month down to finally $4,200 a month. But it's been like a million years.
And so, and you spent all the attorney fees getting it down.
If we were to go back to family court, it would go to trial because the MSA is already in place, and he doesn't have time for that. He's a traveling guy, a traveling business guy. He doesn't have time to go back to court, but her favorite thing is the court. Like, she's never even gotten a life, no job, no, I mean, why would she get a job? Kids, only one minor kid at home. It's just it's just crazy. We have this back child support because he did not sign like the we really weren't representative when the market fell. So he didn't foolishly file that change of income for like
support.
1 year.
So Marilyn, what's your response to her? What's your advice to Michelle on how to deal with this and try to bring an end to the constant court battles?
I mean, the only way to deter someone from going to court constantly is for them to have to pay your attorney's fees for wasting time. And unfortunately, our judges just don't order those as often as they should, in my opinion. But, I mean, at least maybe be on the offense instead of the defense all the time. Maybe file a motion for attorney's fees and explain, you know, all the battle you went through and say, we finally got it cut in half. So obviously the court found there was a basis. But we spent $50,000 in attorney's fees to get it cut in half. So, you know, she should pay for some of this because she's constantly threatening. Maybe tell her I'm going to tape you every time you talk to me from now on so that I have proof because I don't want to hear your threats anymore. You know, use
okay,
your emails
so
every
is
time
it
she
true
texts.
Once the MSA is in place, excuse me, once the MSA is in place, it's really hard to go back and correct it, especially like 10 plus years over.
Yeah, you're way past the deadline. You basically have 6 months or 30 days to appeal, depending on which method you're trying to do to set it aside. But alimony and child support is always modifiable, unless he agreed that it's not modifiable, which most people don't do. But You know, that's the only caveat. So he can't modify it if his income changed. So that's the easier way than trying to fix the MSA is just to modify the forward going. And that just takes emotion.
But we should have done that in 2008 or 2007.
Or do it now. Yes, really. You should have done it in 2008.
Because
but
it hasn't
you can
changed
still do it now.
Now it's back to normal.
Okay, yeah, then you can't go back and modify.
Then we're
legally you have
screwed.
Based on our quick conversation, now, I wouldn't suggest you don't get real legal advice. They should actually look at your decree and see if there's any chance. But based on what I know from our conversation, it's probably too late to do a whole lot about the past.
Okay, well, thank you.
I'm sorry I don't have better information. I wish I could give everyone
happy
answers.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted to ask you.
No, I know. It's good
thanks
to ask.
So much.
You never know. But
thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Wow, that's
story of her job. I know. It's hard to give negative advice, but it's reality, and you don't want to tell someone, you know, what they want to hear instead of the real answer.
Right, and it sounded like Michelle already kind of had an idea of it.
Yeah, you know, sure.
Yeah. So, okay, well, now we're going to get more into you, Marilyn.
Sure.
So you are very honest and transparent, and you have said that you are now on husband number 4, and you have 3
correct.
Children, each with a different dad. So tell us a little bit more about that. You know, just give us some more insight into that.
Well, I wish I had more insight, but I can basically explain it that my parents have been married 50 years, so I came from an intact family. They're still intact. I certainly didn't have any divorce around me growing up. My mom's very religious. My dad's the opposite, but just, you know, because of her, they stayed married, basically. And so my dad always was pushing me as a kid to get married. Don't let him have the cow for free when they don't buy the milk. I'm like, oh my God. Cause I had a boyfriend I lived with as a kid when I was literally 17. So, maybe he encouraged me to get married. I don't know. I was a typical romantic girl. Like, my wedding is going to look like this and da da, which my daughter does already. And that's alarming. She's 12. So I was engaged a couple times first. Let me think. I called a wedding off. My mom got super pissed at me for calling a wedding off, like at the last minute, quit talking to me for 6 months. So then I get engaged again. And I end up going through with that wedding knowing it's not going to last. Like, I knew before I married him that one was a stupid idea. But I didn't want my mom to not talk to me. So I figured, I'm already a divorce attorney at this point. Like, I just started my own firm. I'll just do my own divorce in a year or so when my mom's not paying attention anymore. So that's what happened. Not to say that's a brilliant plan. I don't recommend that. But here we are. And then I met my daughter's father shortly thereafter, and we had a very quick romance. He proposed 5 weeks after we met. I married him maybe 2 months after that. We had a baby. We got pregnant a couple months after we got married. I raised his son. That's not my birth child, but I still call him mine. He still calls me mom. He was 5 then, and he's 20, almost 21 now.
So with all this, Marilyn, with all this experience that you've had, what advice, when you meet someone who's about to get married and they come in to see you, what advice do you give them based on your personal experience?
Well, if they bothered to ask, which they don't usually, they're in here for a prenup and it's too late and they're already locked in. And, you know, I have girlfriends, of course, that one's engaged and getting married soon. And I'm like, what are you doing? Nobody wants to hear advice. Nobody's listening to it. Like, this is a dumb idea that she's getting married to this guy. It's not going to work out. I think people need to, one, go into the real world thinking it may not work out. And that's not the end of the world. Like, that's my advice. It's really not the end of the world. I got divorced a couple times. It's stupid. I didn't want to. I don't want to have this many ex-husbands. I don't want to have 3 baby daddies. It's totally embarrassing. If I actually had the embarrassment gene, I was born without it, I'm pretty sure. So I just don't care. I mean, I wouldn't stay married to any of them. That wasn't the solution for me. And so I would say take some more time. Like, I didn't take enough time. I married number 2 and 3 because I like to number them instead of name them. It's just easier. Uh-huh. 2 and 3. I married very quickly. I didn't really know who they were. I didn't know who I was, really, to be honest. I'm not sure I know who I am yet. I don't know if I want to know me, but my expectations were unrealistic, I think, is part of the problem. I expected marriages to be perfect and these guys to be romantic and care. And what about date night? And now I'm like, oh, my God. Like, my expectations are lower with each marriage, so they get easier each time because I just don't, you know. I
mean, okay,
I know.
Okay,
lucky the current. So I just to take a little time and be realistic on the possibility that it doesn't last. know who you're having children with and know, you know, if we don't stay married, what will it look like? You need to realistically look at that, because these guys in my office, they marry these nightmare drama queens and they breed with them and then they want me to fix it. I'm like, you made a nightmare drama queen junior. Like, you literally have a 13-year-old girl that acts like your wife. And now you want custody of her, or at least half the time, and she's like the Tasmanian devil and the spy. I mean, I can't make the genetics better for you in a courtroom. I wish I could.
Okay, so I don't know. I did intend to, like, give a disclosure to this episode, so I don't think I did that in the very beginning, but I'm going to do it right now. So my disclosure is all statements, all thoughts, all teachings during this show are not representative of the BBS radio station or of myself. But
yeah,
I do think that they are well worth listening to. And yeah, because what I like about you, Marilyn, is you just state it like it is. This is what your reality is of what you believe is true. And sometimes we need that a little bit in our relationship, or not a little bit, a lot in our relationship, so that we can see things from a different point of view. And the way that I use it is that I try to help couples see it from the other side so they understand it better and so they can approach it in a more successful way. And
I think your beginning thought on your show was helpful, and it actually resonates for me in kind of a different way. Like, I have an ex-husband that doesn't do anything, frankly. Like, we have a child and he's not helpful. And my current husband gets pissed, and I always say the same thing. I married him knowing who he was. Maybe not as well as I should have, but now I know who he was. I stayed married to him. I bred with him on purpose. We have a child together. This is who he is. He's not going to be a better person or a different person now that we're divorced. So I don't punish him. I don't expect things from him he's never done before. I don't get mad. I just absorb them, and I enable him, and I take care of our daughter. And that's this, you know, that's what I signed up for. I'm not going to fight it now and expect something different because we're divorced than I had during the marriage. In fact, usually you get less at divorce, not more. So it's okay. I'm not mad at him. That's who he is. I accept it. I walked in knowing. I don't get to punish him every day for who he is. So that's the thing that I think, like, your higher thought, it isn't, mine's a negative spin on it in a way, but it's an acceptance. Like you said, they leave stuff on the floor. That's who they are. Does it matter? Does it matter that he doesn't answer his daughter's phone calls? Yeah, it matters to her. It doesn't matter to me. But, you know, I called him today and said, hey, she's getting really upset. Please try to call her back in a 3-day span. Okay. Will you remind me? Sure. No problem. So I text him and remind him, your daughter's getting upset. Please call her back. It's just that simple. I want my daughter happy. I don't care that I have to remind him. I'm not going to give him the, I'm not your secretary speech, because I am. I signed up for a guy who needs a secretary, so I'm the secretary.
And I want to just take a second to say, you know, I think every person who goes through divorce or split up or whatever, we want what's best for our kids. We inherently want what's best for our kids, but sometimes we let our emotions get in the way of our clear thinking, and we got to catch ourselves. We have to be aware of it. We got to catch ourselves and do what's right and just get over our own personal dilemmas and do what's right. So with that said, we are going to go into a quick commercial break, and then we are going to come back and we are going to play a little game with Marilyn. So stay with us.
Hey, this is me, Dory, and I want to express how grateful I am for you joining me on my show. And for this, I have a very special gift for you that I am super excited to tell you about. It's a tool, and it's a tool that I have for those of you who are in a relationship and may be feeling frustration and anxiety revolving around this partnership, like all of us do at some point, right? But it doesn't have to stay this way. The tool I'm talking about is my Energized Relationship Quiz. All you do is you simply answer 6 super simple questions, enter your email, and then my custom diagnosis will pop up and reveal the relationship issue. After that, it'll give you the tools to change your situation starting today, right away, right now. So stop arguing over the same things. Get your relationship back to that healthy and happy place you want it. And love being with your partner again. Yes, it can happen. Here's the coolest part. It's free. And like I said earlier, it's only 6 super easy questions. So all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, which is the @MeDoryVerity, and type quiz in my messenger. And it'll take you right to the quiz. If you have questions, simply ask me on Messenger and I'll personally answer. In fact, I would love to hear your feedback. So once again, just go to my Facebook page, which is the @MeDoriVerity, and type quiz in my Messenger. That's it. I look forward to connecting with you.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking with Ms. Marilyn York, divorce attorney, and we have covered a lot of different issues, but right now we are going to lighten this up a bit and we are going to go into the truth or truth game. Okay, so the way that this game works, Marilyn, this is called Truth or Truth, and the only rule in this game is that you have to be all totally honest, which I don't anticipate you having a problem with. So you ready to play?
No, not an issue. I might have Tourette's. I'm ready.
Okay, so number one, what celebrity would you want to make out with the most? Matt Damon?
I play this game in my office.
Oh, you play this game in your office? Who do you want to make out with the most? Okay, so I have some options for you, but if you have another person that you want to come in with, that's totally fine. So the first one is Matt Damon, B, Gerard Butler, C is Jamie Dornan. If you don't know who that is, that's the 50 Shades of Grey guy. Joe Jonas or Donald Trump.
Oh, God. I love that the poor guy's on the list. Does anyone pick him? If I have to pick one of those, it's Gerard Butler, definitely.
He's pretty cute.
We play free pass, the free pass in the office. Mine is Robert Redford, 1986, because they're not going to happen. So you might as well go back in time.
He was so cute. He was so cute back then. He and Paul Newman.
This is prime. I know.
So I agree. Yeah. Free pass. Good call.
My real free pass.
Okay. That's your free pass. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Next question. We're getting into better stuff now. What are you most likely to say in the bedroom? A, hurry up. B, I need it now. C, tell me what you want. Or D, get the handcuffs.
Probably C. I'm a pleaser.
Really?
Which I am. I'm a total pleaser, which people would not expect. I'm very nurturing in my real life.
I have to say that was probably the most shocking thing that I've heard in this entire conversation.
You can ask my husband off the scene. He would probably agree. Hopefully,
okay.
Otherwise, I'm flipping up.
Okay, fair enough. All right, number three. What one word best describes you? A, dominatrix. B, feisty. C, cuddly.
All of the above, depending on the minute, but probably B. I was like, you need to throw unpredictable in there.
Unpredictable, yeah. Probably, I think with you that would be good.
Probably feisty, but I definitely have all those sides to me.
I think it's kind of good. It keeps people on their toes, especially men.
Yeah.
So,
even myself, I'm like, God, what did I just say? What did I just do?
Okay. Number four, what pickup line would work best on you? A, do you know what my shirt is made of? Boyfriend material. B, I was so enchanted by your beauty that I ran into the wall over there, so I'm going to need your name and number for insurance purposes. Or C, I'm not staring at your boobs. I'm staring at your heart.
Oh, God. That one's awful. I think B is the funniest. I like a little funny.
Okay. I mean, so funny's always going to win you over.
It's irritating to me. Yeah, but I like a little humor and self-deprecation mixed in. That's good. It's disarming.
Okay, so I'm going off of our game just for a second. So you are married to a new gentleman, Mike, who I have met before, and he is quite the funny guy. Did he do any pickup lines with you? How did you two meet?
I met him on the internet, and I hit on him, so he didn't have to do any pickup lines. I just broken up with a fiance and was looking for some casual relationship fun and thought, well, he looks pretty hot. And so I hit on him anonymously because it was Match.com, which half my clients are on, so I don't have a profile with a picture. My God, that'd be the weirdest, most awkward thing. And then he said, oh, I know who you are. I'm like, how? I used my middle or my first initial, and he certainly did. Apparently, he'd been asking about me. Strangely, for my commercials, I would not typically think she looks like a really nice girl.
So, wow.
I know. And so we ended up going on a date. So I don't know that he used a pickup line. I think he got away with that one easily.
And you were looking at him as a boy toy. Is that right?
Exactly. And that was actually a wise choice because in my defense, he was an infant when I met him. I mean, super, super playboy, easy, like not committing type. And I wasn't looking for a commitment. Frankly, I was all about never getting married again. I failed so many times at it. And flash forward, here we are, which is hilarious to me.
Here you are with a baby, and you guys are definitely
married. I think we're here. And it's great. That's the other shocking part. It's really good. So it's almost four years now.
Do you think that you guys get along so well because he has kind of an easygoing personality?
He has an easygoing personality in that he doesn't ingest things and, like, take them too seriously. He lets me be myself and stays out of all my office drama and my business life. He just lets it fly off, which is good. But he's moody, and I am not as moody, which is kind of funny. But I just let his moods slide off me like he lets my, you know, drama, because I have a very complicated life. I have a boyfriend that said, loving me is like hugging a house on fire. I'm like, that's really great. Awesome. And he's really good at not catching himself on fire, which is pretty cool.
Wow. What a statement. Yeah, that's definitely not a pickup line.
No.
Okay, so.
Inaccurate, though.
There's so many areas that I want my brain to go right now with you, but we don't even have that much time, unfortunately.
No problem.
But I'm glad to hear that you guys are doing well. And I want to bring up one point. What you said was that your husband let you be you, and you let him be him, and you just let things go. And, you know, maybe it's the fourth time as a charm, but that is so key. We all have our issues. We all have our crap that we carry with us, and it's with every single person. But when you can just kind of say, you know what? That's him. That's the way he is. Or that's the way she is. Like my husband, every single night that we have been together, and remember, we've been together for 30 years, he gets up in the middle of the night and he makes the biggest mess in my kitchen. He will put cheese everywhere. When he opens up a jar of peanut butter, like I always get the kind that's organic and it needs to be mixed in.
You just stir it.
It looks like he killed someone with the peanut butter. It's everywhere. It's going down my counters. It's all over my sink. It's on my fridge. It's a mess. But that's him. And so, again, it's that mountaintop thinking. Remember, going back to where we started in this first of this show, it's that mountaintop thinking. But I think Marilyn brought up a really good point, is that you got to be able, before you get married or if you are already married, you just got to accept the certain things about your person, about the other person. And just know that's just part of what makes them unique. And what you may have loved in the very beginning, as time goes on, may irritate the crap out of you, but you got to learn to change your mindset and deal with it. Wouldn't you say, Marilyn?
Just get up and wash the dishes every morning that are his if it bugs you, and you'll live. It's 5 minutes, and the fight that you start over emasculating him or him getting mad at you for nagging is like a 3-hour fight and 4 days of cold shoulder. So
totally,
if I just
true.
Schedule my 5-minute dish cleanup, the world works a lot better, and we hope that's our only issue. Like, I can deal with the little dishes, but please don't sleep with my best friend. Like, that's actually more irritating. That might be a deal breaker.
Okay, so Mike, if you're listening, remember that one. Put that one in your pocket.
Good. Find your own girl. Don't sleep with mine.
Okay, so as long as you guys have your, you know, the lines drawn as to what you'll accept and what you won't accept,
I'm kidding.
All good.
I don't want to start rumors. I have enough real baggage. We don't need them to make it up.
Okay, so but before we go, I want to bring this up because once again, my biggest why into why I became a marriage coach is because of my passion for wanting to help children be healthy, happy, confident kids as they grow up. And I believe Marilyn has that same point, you know, has that same concern with children as well. So what I want to hear from you, Marilyn, is what can people do, or what's the most harmful things that you see that people are doing in when they're going through a divorce or split up that they can try to avoid?
insulting one another to your children in front of them or to them, because a lot of times it's inadvertent. You know, they just overhear it. They use code names and think the kids don't know. They have Jaws as a theme song for the phone when their ex-wife calls or something. It's really harmful, and they forget that these children are genetically 50% mom to 50% dad. So if you're insulting mom, you're insulting 50% of who your children genetically are, not to mention who they love, of course. It's horribly damaging, whether you're divorced or married. So this advice goes to all couples, because people do it in marriage all the time, thinking, well, we're married, so she knows I love her dad. Well, no, you just emasculated, insulted, demeaned him, to undermined him, you know, or vice versa. It works both ways. So my advice is just be kind. Consider the little ears listening and what effect it has on them. Quit bringing them into adult conflict and making them feel bad for loving the other parent, because that's a really sick thing. Don't take things away from them they got from the other parent in divorce, emotionally or physically. I mean, it's absurd what I see and disgusting, and it has horrible effects on these babies. So like you said earlier, Midori, is put them first. Put your kids first and imagine being in their shoes. Because if you ask adults that watched their parents go through a custody battle and put them in the middle, a lot of those people never get married. It was so bad, they never get married. It's horrible. The lasting effects are a lifetime. It's not something you can undo with a couple years of therapy either. So just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Be aware of it. Wow, such a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. And for all of us who, or all of you who have gone through a divorce or thinking about it or in your own relationships, keep that in mind, because that is so important as far as your children. You did?
I did a commercial where I have children quoting their parents and saying it back to the other parent. I actually used my two children in it, and it's really hard to watch. They're quoting their parents. You know, mommy says she's, or daddy says he's not even sure you're my, he's my dad. Like basically calling her mom a tramp. Like it's really hard to watch coming out of these little babies' mouths. And I did it on purpose so that people would see physically what they're doing when they repeat the horrible stuff they say and watch a kid say it. It's really hard just to try to say stop. So
absolutely.
I hope it makes an impression.
Yeah. So I hope that we all keep that in our back pocket and we remember that one. So Marilyn, thank you so much for being on the show and being such a fabulous guest, entertaining and educational all in one.
Thank you. And, thanks for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. Well, that was so nice of you to say. And this has been, like I said, I have never had more people respond to me or send me messages about a guest. So that was kind of fun. So thank you for entertaining me for the last couple of weeks with the response that I'm receiving from everybody.
Yeah. Hopefully the hate mail doesn't hurt you as much. I'm used to it. So send it my way. I'll tell you how to respond if you get stuck.
No, it's all good. It's all good. But anyway, so next, thanks so much for being here. Marilyn, I forgot to ask you. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, I know that by law, I believe if you are looking for an attorney, it has to be in that state. Is that right? So if someone's
we have to be licensed there. I am licensed in California and Nevada. I don't practice in California very often, although we have cases at the lake because we're 30 miles from California. So I do some cases. I have one in Sacramento, but I have a website. It's probably the easiest, marilyn@marilynyork.net. And it's the traditional Maryland spelling. So the easiest way, my phone number is on there as well. So that I would suggest that method.
Okay, great. So it will also be on our website once we get this up. So you can go to midoriverity.com, look up this interview, and all of Marilyn's information will be there for you, along with a replay of this. So if you want to go back and just listen to it over and over and over again, you can. So next week, we are going to be changing gears just a bit. I am going to have a clairvoyant on my show, Miss Angela Barrows. And I have to say, I have never gone to see a psychic or a clairvoyant or anything before, but I have talked with Angela a couple times and she has done some work with me, and it's crazy and it's a little freaky what she's able to do. And we will be bringing on a guest or maybe two. If you are interested in that, be here for our next show. So until next time, be kind. Think of your other partner and remember the gratitude attitude. Express at least one positive thing to your partner or to someone that you love every single day. All right. We will see you guys next Wednesday. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening to the Kick-Ass Relationship Show with Midori Verity. We hope you've enjoyed the show and want to share the love by passing on our web address, MidoriVerity.com/show, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous shows. This has been a Midori Verity International production. Join us next time on the Kick-Ass Relationship Show to add passion and fun to enjoy the most extraordinary relationship and life.